Come on, let's give the Lord praise again. Amen. I bring you greetings from Bishop Johnson, Lady Carolyn. They gladly released us to come and minister at this church. And I praise God for the opportunity to be here. I know last year we were trying to work it out. And I really had a peace about it. I was frustrated because there was a peace that went with it. And I really do believe that God worked everything out. It was a timing issue. How many of you know things have to be in His timing? Amen. And so I received this word from a major prophet. He says, when men are inviting you, I am sending you. And I believe the Lord has sent me here. Amen. Under the authorization of your pastor. Amen. And so this morning, I believe a word from the Lord for you, and I'm going to share it. And I often tell people when I go different places, normally it's a plane to catch. And so I know where my car is. I can get to it can't get to it as fast as I used to. mainly because I had a knee replacement. And oh my God, that was an ordeal. I had to literally be tricked into having the surgery, and so the jury is still out in terms of do I think it made a difference. How many of you understand what I'm saying here? I remember when the doctors told me, and he said, you know, when I went to the doctor in January, he said, Mr. Crawford, you're going to have to give up martial arts completely. And I said to myself, I'm going to find a way. I'm searching for a way. But the interesting thing about true martial arts, every punch is not just a punch from your arm, but it takes your whole body, hip, torque, everything down to your toes. Your entire body has to be mobilized to deliver the type of punch you need to if it's going to be effective. And it's interesting, the whole body has to be mobilized to do it. The whole body, everything has to flow in a sequential fashion. And I believe that God in this hour is doing something mighty in this house, and He's doing something mighty in the super complex, the entire body of Christ here in Metro Atlanta. And so let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for the Holy Spirit being present upon this church. We thank You for the mandate that You've given Pastor Walker. We thank You, Lord, that He did not just come to this city, but He was sent here. He is a sent one. He is one that was placed and affixed here, Lord, as Your man. And they came as a team, Lord, into this house because You placed them here. And so, Father, today, Lord, as we share the word of the Lord, Father, Lord, we speak only what You give. We ask Your Holy Spirit that You would supply the words. I yield myself to You. I have nothing to give except what You give, Lord. My complete dependency is on You. Lord Jesus, this is Your church. This is Your people. You're the head of the church. And we thank You, Lord, that You will speak to us today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to say one thing. This whole thing about the prophetic, I really do believe that God wants to cultivate some of that here in a different fashion. But I want to say this I need to say this. People who call themselves prophets, people who call themselves prophets of the Lord, one of the major earmarks of a prophet sent by Christ or a one who is prophetic is not primarily the accuracy of their words. It has to be that they are tethered to an apostolic gift. They have to be tethered to an apostolic gift. A prophet will operate at his or her best when they are in relationship with an apostolic gift. And many times you have some who are powerfully used of the Lord, but they are detached from an apostolic gift, and their ministry does not have the effect that it's supposed to have on the church, because there has to be that tethered relationship, that walking together relationship with an apostolic gift. And the type of prophets that God is raising up in this hour, and that's why in many cases he's taking his time to cultivate the gift, because the gift can come on you in a minute, but to cultivate the person can sometimes take years. And what God is doing in this hour is that he's raising men and women in that office of a prophet who have a shepherding heart, whose concern is for the body in itself. And they want to build, they want to come alongside of that leader and help build and not tear down. They have a heart for the sheep. They have a heart for the people of God. And so I wanted to say this because you can receive a word from a person and the spirit of that word may be accurate, but the spirit behind that word can cause you to come into misalignment with where the Lord placed you. This is an hour where God is moving by his spirit, and alignment is a key issue. When the Bible talks about being equipped, when you look at that word in the Greek, it actually means alignment. Are you connected where you're supposed to be connected? There are no long rangers in the Lord. Amen. And the Lord never makes a person gifted in ministry. He never makes them undependent on his body. So I wanted to say that because I believe either some of you have been a part of or ran into or will run into people who say they are prophetic and they are lawless. They're not connected. They're not in alignment with an apostolic gift. They don't know what it means how to flow with what God is doing or discerning what he is building and coming alongside to help build what Christ is building in that region and in that place. Amen. So anyway, thought I just had to get that off my chest. Every year God gives me, Every year God gives me a word to frame the whole year. This year, the word God gave me was capacity. Last year, the word was focus. The year before that, it was intentionality. This year, it's capacity. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. And because there's a lot of frustration in many people around the world regarding God said this to me, and why is it taking so long? How many of you understand what I'm saying here? Sometimes we wonder, you know, I know God said this, but why is it taking so long? The Bible says in the book of James, the second chapter, it says, faith without works is dead. And there are people who believe that you can receive a word or God speaks to you about doing something and God is going to do the work as well. And I shared this a while back and said, you know, God is not in the whole thing about the kingdom of God is not into magic. And what I mean by that is that God, you know, God is not going to comb your hair. Okay? The Lord speaks to you about building a building. He is not going to be out there stacking bricks. There's a part that he does, and there's a part that you do. A person can only receive from God in direct correlation to their capacity to receive from God. You can only receive from God in direct correlation to the capacity to receive from God. It's just like a person bringing their tithe and offering before the Lord. And you should bring your tithe and offering before the Lord. And I want to say this to the tithers in this church. If you, how many of you are tithers? Let me see by the show of your hands. No, them hands, your hands should go up proud. And the reason why I'm saying that is that if you have a track record in tithing, then you can see the ramifications of it in your children. Because the Bible says that when Abraham paid tithes, he saw Levi paying tithes. And so when you pay your tithes or bring your tithe into the household of faith, God sees your grandchildren tithing before they give $1. And because of that, he releases a mantle of prosperity and advancement on them. And how many of you could stand up here today and testify and say, you know, when I look back, I can see that God has really blessed my children, even though they're not walking with them, even though they may not be walking with them. The blessing of the Lord has been on them, and it's been because of your giving. It's been because of your tithe. The tithe is a covenant connector. It connects you to the benefits of the covenant. It's not my message. But what I'm saying in this area, for those of you who tithe, see, the benefit is in the tithe. Lord, have mercy. And, man, I look back, it's not because Jane and I are smart. It's not because we are great parents. But I want to say that, man, I'm looking at my son, when he graduated from college, God gave him so much favor, man. He's working for Booz Allen Consulting and has given him major promotion in that company and all types of things. But the Lord reminded me it was because of the tithe. It's because of the tithe. Come on, saints. It's because of the tithe. And see, if you want your children and your grandchildren to walk in blessing, you got to tithe. If you love your children, because God saw Levi tithing when Abraham paid his tithe. And if you ain't paying tithe, what is going down to your children? There are families stuck in a cycle of poverty. Stuck in poverty. And the way to get out of that cycle of poverty is, first of all, it's one of the first things you got to do. You got to bring the tithe into the household of faith. Come on now, y'all. Ain't nobody shouting here. My car parked real close to the building. Praise God. It's not in my notes. The reason why I brought up the tithe is because sometimes when we bring our tithe and we give our offerings, and so say for instance, we're working, and I love McDonald's, praise God. I'm not casting aspersion on McDonald's, but I'm trying to paint a picture. And so say for instance, you're making $12 an hour, okay? And but you're paying tithes and you're believing the Lord for a $35,000 or let's say, no, that's better. Let's say $50,000 a year job. So you're paying tithe, you're bringing the tithe and the offering, and you believe in God. But the thing about it, that blessing, the magnitude of that blessing cannot come through the job you presently have. The blessing he has is in a big picture. And where you are is a cup. He can't pour all of what he wants to pour in that cup. Come on, saints. It's about capacity. Whatever good you receive by default gravitate from us if you don't build the required capacity to handle it. God told Israel, in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, the 2nd through the 3rd verse, he says, make your tent bigger, stretch it out, and make it wider. Do not hold back. Make the rope stronger, because you will spread out to the right and to the left. Another translation says, make your tent bigger. Open your doors wide. Don't think small. Make your tent large and strong, because you will grow in all directions. You will grow in all directions. But the growth is in correlation to the capacity. The systems of the organization must be able to absorb the growth of productivity, because some systems, all of a sudden, the demand is greater than the present system operating the organization. And I want to say, the Lord says this church will grow in all directions, but the Lord is making a mandate on us about increasing our capacity. Say, the Lord wants me to increase my capacity. Look at somebody, because you don't believe it. Look at somebody. And I want you to prophesy to them and say, the Lord is giving you a command to increase your capacity. I was looking at the story of the woman with the cruse of oil. And let me get quicker here. This water looks so good. The woman with the cruse of oil in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Her husband died. And she came to the prophet. Oh, prophet, I ain't got no money. My children getting ready to get put in jail. We're in debt. Prophet. In her mind, she's thinking, take up an offering for us. Go into your treasury. We need some money. The good prophet looked at her. What do you have in your hand? Now, I know she probably looked at him like he was crazy. She saw all that money they had. She thought he was going to give her a handout. But he turned around and said, what do you have in your hands? She said, all I got is a jar of oil. And he turned around and said to her, we're not going to go through the whole story. I just want to illustrate one point. He turned around and said to her, go borrow as many vessels as possible. And she went and borrowed as many vessels as possible. And then he says, now I want you to come in the house. Close the door. this little jar you got, I want you to pour this oil in all the vessels. She started pouring oil. She saw it went into two. Oh, Jesus. Now, she had to be careful not to drop it now. She had to stand there and hold that jar. Do you know that oil would have flowed throughout eternity had there been enough jars? Now, the thing that gets me, God was not in control of the capacity of the oil. She was in control of the capacity. It was the number of jars that she gathered. The woman controlled her capacity. God meets us at the level of our capacity. Do you have enough containers for the things you've been praying for? Do you have enough containers for the things you've been praying for? You've been praying for a house. Do you have enough containers for that house? Are you getting your credit together? Come on, saints. Lord, have mercy. Or you think he's going to just drop the house on you? Or call somebody to give you the house? That's what I meant by folks think God, you know, is into magic. He's not into magic. If he was dropping houses out the sky, Lord have mercy, man. Do you have enough? Man, you got, I don't know if you can sit down and think about this. Do you have enough containers for the things you've been praying for? Do you have a receptacle that can contain the blessing that he wants to give you? And so what happens many times, the Lord has to work on us so that our capacity expands. And sometimes this is the reason why it takes so long. He wanted to bless you 2 years ago. He was ready to give it to you 2 years ago, but didn't have the capacity. Every last one of us has something that God can work with. The woman said she only had a jar of oil. What do you have in your hands? What do you have in your hands? Well, I just got... a couple things at my house, you know, I fixed a couple cars here and there. Lord, have mercy. There is a distinction between the oil and the jar. The oil in this represents the Holy Spirit. The oil represents your unique ability. The oil represents your inborn talents. The jar represents You're developing the talents. You're developing the giftings that he's given you. And that's part of your capacity, because you can have a gift, but if you don't develop the gift, come on, saints. What made Michael Jordan great was not his talent. It was not his talent. It was his developed talent. He didn't stop at the level of the talent. He threw 300 free throws every day without fail after practice. Come on, saints. I don't know if this is registering with any one of you today. I'm here to tell you that God wants to bless his people, but we have to increase our capacity. Like the woman, Jesus borrowed jars. We are the jars. And the Holy Spirit could not be poured out until the jars were ready. I'm speaking of the disciples.
He had to wait till the disciples were ready, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out, because it was through those containers that the church as it is today has been growing for the last 2,000 years, from those 12 containers.
Be out your way in a second. Now, the scripture says, now I say the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. We are owners of everything, but the child has to cultivate the required capacity needed to properly administrate his inheritance. Moses waited in the desert for 40 years until the capacity for a deliverer of 3 million people was cultivated in him. You may ask, why so long? God is waiting on your increasing capacity to move the things that belong to you towards you. God is not withholding nothing from you. It's our capacity that's withholding it from us. It's just like a person says, you know, I've received this word about prospering, about prosperity. So you go home. I'm telling everybody I'm going to prosper. Oh, Lord, the Lord spoke to me. Lord, I'm going to be blessed going in and blessed going out. He's going to bless the works of my hands. You go home, you put that prophetic word on the mantle, and so you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and then you get frustrated. And then you finally go get a job, and then you settle for a job that you hate. And the job is blessing you, because God wanted to bless you, but he could only bless you as far as your capacity would have allowed you to be blessed. Because over here, he saw you going back to school. Come on. You were a mechanic by trade, by hand, but he wanted you to go back to school so you could get your papers. Come on, that's called capacity building. Amen. He wanted you to go to school to learn how to operate a business. Amen. He wanted you to get under somebody to apprentice. Amen. And then after you apprenticed, he wanted you to get you a little small shop. Amen. And then that meant that you had to run the business, and then you had to work in the business, and you had to have employees. But that was part of his point, because after you did that, your capacity, it increases. But you have to understand, to move from being gifted and to going to school, that requires some stretching, amen. That requires some frustration, amen. That it requires some risk taking to take place, amen. And then when you move from school to business school, and you learn how to business operate, and you learn how to work with people, and you learn how to work with employees, man, that's frustrating, because people can run you crazy, and you start wondering, do I really want this? Do I really want this? But Father said, keep on going. I saw your grandmama tithe. She's in the grave now, but her tithe is speaking. Your mama tithe is speaking. Amen. Your tithe is speaking. I'm with you. Don't give up. Stay in the training. And so all of a sudden, you keep on working, and you keep on working and laboring, and you finally get your little shop, and then you start having problems there. But then it's called capacity building. It's called capacity building. But then all of a sudden, your vision begins to enlarge, and the thought comes to you, man, well, it would be great to have this on the other side of the city. It seems like all the people keep coming to me. So you open up another shop. And then because you know how to operate the first shop, amen, you know how to work with people, you start the second shop, and you leave this shop here as a franchise, and then you start a third shop. Lord, have mercy. And then the next thing you know, you have four shops in operation. You at home telling everybody what to do, and you're prospering, and the word is coming to pass, but the word requires capacity enlargement. Come on, saints. Are you willing to increase your capacity?
You got so many young people who are millennials who don't want to go to school because it's not interesting. See what's happening? You're running from what's supposed to increase your capacity. So all you have is that $12 job and the thought that you're going to be a famous rapper one day. You just waiting on your CD to be sold. You're at the mall handing them out. And, oh, yeah, I'm going to be great. I'm going to be great. You don't understand. I'm going to break it down to you right now. Because, see, when you look at Jay-Z, you look at, what's the other one? Come on. You look at Jay-Z. What's the other one? Lil Wayne. It's another one. Kanye. And it's another one that Dre. When you look at all of these guys, they got all the rappers working for them. I would use another word, but we're inside a church. And you don't understand, they are on a string, a puppy string. And many of the rappers don't have a cent. That all they do is on television, riding the car, got big chains that the neck can't hold up. And the ones that make the money are the ones, man, y'all ain't listening to me. And you thinking you're gonna be the next great one. You need to understand, there's 200,000 other youth in this city think they're gonna be the next great one. Y'all, man, you can get mad at me, I don't care. And then it dawns on you after you turn 35. I may have made a wrong decision. I'm here as a man of God. You're making the wrong decision. You need to go to school. Don't follow the crowd. I didn't like college. I didn't like sitting down listening to boring subjects. It's just part of the program. It's part of growing up. You have to learn how to delay gratification in order to reach the dream. No, I know what I did for my two boys. I know exactly what I did. I made them work. I made my oldest son, he was 13. I had him out there cutting yards with a landscaper. And man, at 6 o'clock in the morning, the landscaper would take him and bring him home. 9 o'clock, all he could do was eat and go to bed. He didn't have enough energy. He had turned 2 shades darker. I wanted him to understand this is the life you're going to live for the rest of your life if you want to choose to not to go to school. I stopped buying their clothes when they were in the 10th grade. If they didn't like what I bought, then it meant they had to work to get it. And I could afford to pay for it, but I wanted them to understand, you get nothing free in this life. And I didn't expect, my wife told me, you're so hard on them. You're so hard on them. It'd be raining outside, and the garbage man getting ready to come, and she said, you gonna make them go out there? Oh yeah. Because one day, they're gonna end up having to take care of a family. All right. We're talking about capacity building. I'm just about finished. All right, they're telling me to come on and get on off this pulpit. Let me see. The Bible said that the child grew. It's interesting, the Bible said the child grew. The growing up is up to us. the growing up. Some of us are adults right now. Some of you want to throw in the towel. Some of you are so tired, and you say, "Well, Lord, I keep on giving and giving and giving." And you know, I've been thinking about reinventing myself. I've been thinking, that's the Lord putting that thought in your head. That's God trying. He's trying to bless you. I'm here to tell you, the Lord is trying to bless you. He can't get what he wants to get to you where you are. Man, the economy got crazy. The economy got crazy. And so the thing the Lord put in my heart, see, I'm giving, the word of the Lord. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, it literally talks about seven streams of income that all of us should have. And some of that income should be passive income. And it's not income. See, some of that. And so basically, man, I was prophesying that to everybody, and the Lord started saying, What are you doing? And so the next thing I knew, I found myself, because people would come to me and for advice. And it wasn't for prophecy. It was just something the Lord had given me in terms of helping people discover their gifts, helping them to. And so I would walk away and say, "Hey, come on, shake my hand." And have a, you know, $50 bill, $100 bill, place it in my hands. And so the thought came to me, I need to go to school. So I'm working a full-time job. I'm traveling around the nation. And then now I'm in school, becoming a certified life coach. And so, now you have to understand this, I'm beyond 50. And the reason why I'm saying this is because just because you're beyond 50, it doesn't mean it's over with. It doesn't mean that your brain has stopped growing. It doesn't mean that you should stop trying. Just because you're beyond 60. Man, I have a list of people who literally stepped into greatness after the age of 60. 65, 70. When you start looking at Grandma Moses, she started painting at the age of 70 and became one of the greatest artists of all time by time she was 99. Now you can stay home and play checkers and whatever, or get smart. So anyway, I went ahead. Rather than get one certification, I decided to get all four. I'm talking this way because literally the Lord wants us to increase our capacity. And increasing our capacity does not mean you miss church. Lord, have mercy. The Father is trying to get a blessing to you. The Father is trying to release heaven to you. The Lord is trying to end the days of frustration. The Lord wants to raise up millionaires, amen, inside of this house. That's the next phase, millionaires. The Lord wants to raise up millionaires. Oh, man. And when I say that, I'm not just saying that as a cliche. Oh, God, and the Lord wants to raise up millionaires. One of the biggest things that's keeping us from walking in this area is that we must learn how to move an idea to manifestation. Come on. And if we had a group of business people in this church who understood how to move an idea to manifestation. Lord, y'all don't hear this. Y'all don't hear this, man. Marie Callender, man, she's baking pies. First of all, she's trying to take care of her children. And the man said, just bring some pies and I'll pay you extra for the pies, but you still got to work the tables. And so she kept working the tables, bringing the pies, and people kept buying the pies. And he said, okay, I'm gonna tell you what, you can stay off the tables and all I want you to do is make pies. And so she made pies, but then she got smart. She said, you know something, what I need to do is open up my own place. So she went up there and opened up her own place. And all she did, she opened up her own bakery and she baked pies. She got up 4:00 in the morning and baked pies. Lord Jesus. But the pies were so good, a company came knocking at her door. "Ma'am, we would like to buy you out." What we can do is give you this check for about $50 million, and then we can give you a residual on all that you are. That started from the woman baking pies, just trying to pay her rent for her children. We don't have time to feel sorry for ourselves. That prophet told that woman with the oil, "What do you have in your hands?" So let me close. And again, the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 25. "And again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them. While he was gone, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it up in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more." This is in the Bible. And when the Bible talks about talents, it's not talking about skills, it's talking about money. "The talents, the servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who had 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forth with 5 more and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I've earned 5 more.' The master was full of praise. 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, and so now I give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' The servant who had 2 bags of silver, he came forth, and the master gave to him 2 bags of silver to invest. And he said, 'I earned 2 more.' The master said, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' But then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was so afraid I would lose the money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest.' Then he ordered them, 'Take the money from his servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more would be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even with the little they have, will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness.'" You got to understand, the Bible is basically saying, the Lord said, because he didn't use what he gave him, he says, take it from him and give it to the one who had more. And sometimes the things that have been taken away from us is because we haven't used what he gave us. And so Jesus is working his principle. I'm going to give it to the one who has more. Come on, saints, you don't understand. I will say something else, but I'm not going to do that. Luke 19, he says, the crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. And because he was near in Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom was being far away. He said, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver. And then he said, invest this for me while I'm gone. But his people hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want him to be our king. After he was crowned king, he returned and called in the servants to whom he had been given money. He wanted to find out what the profits were. The first servant reported, master, I've invested your money and made 10 times more the original amount. Well done, the king examined. You are a good servant, and you've been faithful with the little I entrusted you. So you will be governor of 10 cities. Then the next servant, said, hey, I've invested your money. I made 5 times the original amount. Well done. The king said, you will be governor over 5 cities. But the third servant brought only the original amount of money. He says, master, I hid your money. I kept it safe, but I was afraid. You are a hard man, taking what isn't yours and harvesting your crops you didn't plant. And then the king said, you wicked servant. Man, you wicked. Man, the man was just taking care of the one. He didn't want to lose the one, so he just put it in the ground. Then, now, this is Jesus. This is in the red print. I just want to make sure y'all know, this is in the red print. This is Jesus talking. This ain't Matthew. This is not Luke talking. This is Jesus. And Jesus turned around and said, "You wicked servant, the king roared, your own words condemn you. If you knew I'm a hard man who takes this isn't mine and harvest crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then turning to the other standing there by, the king ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. "But master," they said, "he already has 10 pounds. "Yes," the king replied, "and to those who use well what they are given, more will be given." And I'm telling you right now, the world understands this better than the church. The world understands this better than the church. The world understands this better than the church. Because in the systems of the world, basically, they understand if they can handle a lot, then those who cannot handle what they have, it's going to end up in their hands anyway. Amen. Y'all don't understand. See the world understands that if you don't start a business, guess what? The money you making, you're going to end up giving it to them anyway. Taking from you what you have because you did not think to do something with the little he gave you. I'm about to close down. Okay. So when you compare these two parables, in the parable of the talents, the slaves received money according to their ability, right? In the parable of the minas, they were each given $500 each, and all of them received the same amount of money, right? In the parable of the talents, the faithful servant said to the slave, "I have made you more talents." I want y'all to hear this. In the parable of the minas, the faithful slaves said to the masters, "Your minas have made you more minas." You got to understand, in the parable of the talents, he says, I have made you more talents. But in the parable of the minas, he says, "Your minas have made you more minas." In the parable of the talents, the faithful slaves were rewarded by being put over many things. In the parable of the minas, the faithful slaves were given authority over cities. This parable teaches us, the parable of the talent teaches us, you got to hear this, teaches us that God rewards hard work and increasing your capacity. But the parable of the minas shows us the secret of having authorities over cities. The secret of having authority over cities lie in the ability of understanding wealth creation. In this parable, they discovered how money works for you instead of you working for money. The Lord was saying, if you can figure out how to create a healthy ecosystem where money makes money, then you can have authority over cities. And then when you look in the book of Isaiah, it says, then you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the former devastations, and you will repair the ruined cities and the desolation of many generations. I just want to say to this church, welcome to the era of city building. Welcome to the era of city building. Those who have much will receive more. And they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they have will be taken away from them. Why would God take from those who have so little and give it to those who already have so much? Because those who have less have a decreased capacity. They have a decreased ability to develop it and steward it. In order to have more, you have to create capacity to handle it. The only prerequisite Jesus gives us from transition from too little to too much is to learn to be faithful and fruitful with little. And this church, in terms of your commitment to the community, in terms of your commitment to reconciliation around the world, this church has been faithful. And God is giving you much. Amen. But now the Lord is, the thing that God put in my heart is that now he's refocusing attention, because now the cities must be rebuilt. There are places that the government cannot answer. But the answer lies in the church, in the body of Christ.
I'm not preaching a social gospel, but this morning what I'm declaring to you, that God wants us to increase our capacity. And so what must you do in order to increase your capacity? And then I'm going to prophesy to the pastor, to the church at large, and then there's one group of people I want to prophesy to, and then that's it. First of all, if you want to increase your capacity, you have to practice self-awareness. You have to learn your blind spots. You have to learn, what are your strengths? What are your strengths? What you want to do, wherever you're strong, you want to become a master or expert in your strength. You want to become competent in your weaknesses. You don't want to focus on your weakness, but you have to improve your weakness so that your weakness doesn't sabotage what you gain with your strength. You have to understand your blind spots. What are your blind spots? What are your blind spots? I'm going to tell you something, man, I love this lady right here. But I've learned a couple things. I've learned that you don't have to fight about everything. Come on, saints. I've learned that you got to choose what you're going to fight about. Come on, saints. I've learned that, you know, going into my office, my man cave, and going outside is my refuge. Come on. When I'm upset, I just go in there, praise God. Hey, baby, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. We ain't gonna fight about that. But my weakness, my wife, my weakness has always been in the area of relationship building. Man, my wife has blessed me in that area. She has been a treasure to me in that area. And it's changed me. But see, you have to recognize what you're not good at. Come on, say, y'all. You have to recognize your blind. You have to recognize your blind spots. See, it has already been proven. If you learn what your deficits are, and you increase the effectiveness of your deficits, your abilities increase 1,000-fold. Self-awareness. The next thing that you have to learn is that you have to practice, let God heal your self-esteem. How do you see yourself? How you value yourself? How you feel about you? What is your perception of how God sees you? I'm going to say this to you today. We live our lives based on who we think we are. You will never rise above the level of what you believe about God. And what you believe about God is the most important thoughts in your head. And what you believe about yourself in your heart. I heard one man of God say, you can't afford to have a thought in your head that God does not have about you. And if you let a thought exist in your head that God does not have about you, it will pull you down. See, the problem is, and that's one of the reasons why increasing your capacity, man, you have to be honest with yourself. One of my major problems in my marriage, one of the major problems I have, I don't mind talking about, man, I had deep father wounds. And guess what? That unfinished business, it came out in our marriage. Oh, man, it couldn't hide any longer. Man, I was great in books, great in school. People praised me, loved me, man. But, man, at home, I was a hell young. And the anger that was inside of me, Lord Jesus. But I had to face it. I had to run to be healed in that area of my heart. I had to run for that healing. I had to run after it. I had to push away shame and press into God and the people that could help me so that I could be healed on the inside so that my life could be poured out as bread to others. But you have to understand, what are your deficits? What is the thing that's defeating you? What is the thing that's messing you up? You got to face that. If you want to increase your capacity, you got to face it. Stop running from the thing that's been breaking you down. Face it, and don't face it by yourself. Get rid of the shame. Get rid of the shame and say, I need help. And press into God
with all your heart. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. When you expose, when you put it out in the open that you need help, God gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. The problem is that we try to make God in our image, then being made in his image. Next thing, you have to decide your niche. You got to decide what your niche is. You are not too old. And when, in regard to your niche, you got to increase your competence in your niche. You got to locate your unique ability. Your unique ability is your genius level. What is that thing you do that comes so natural? What is the thing that you do that you lose track of time when you're doing it? What is the thing that you have built libraries in your house? You have more magazines about it. What is the thing you do that you know more about it than most normal people know about it? What is the thing that's your unique ability? And that your unique ability has the potential to be your genius level. That's your genius level. That's the thing that God has wired you for. And then you have to develop those. Next thing, you have to deal with the character flaws. And I'm going to say this thing about increasing your capacity. Man, one of the biggest reasons people sabotage their businesses, they sabotage their education, they sabotage their families, is that they have secret addictions. They have secret, Pastor Walker, and secret addictions. I know people who can't, they have a business and they tear their business down because they have a secret addiction that they have not allowed to come out into the open. The reason why they keep getting married over and over and over, they haven't told anybody they're on crack cocaine. They haven't told somebody that they're on meth. They haven't put it out in the open. They are very secretive about it, but it's destroying their potential. They're supposed to be somebody at the level of Steve Jobs, but the addiction is controlling their lives. They're able to keep things rolling. They can pay the bills, but they can never walk at the full level of their potential because they won't face that area of darkness in their life. And when you live in denial, you live in darkness. And wherever there is darkness, the demons traffic. The next thing, man, you have to practice stewardship. You got to practice stewardship. And I'm going to tell you, most of us, man, our parents never taught us about how to work with money. Most of us in here, our parents never taught. Two things didn't happen in most black families. You didn't learn how to resolve conflict, and you didn't learn too much about money. Many of us, I'm not saying everyone in here, okay? So don't get upset with me. But I am saying about 85% of us didn't learn anything about, we learned survival. We learned guerrilla warfare style financial management. We learned how to fly those checks, man. Man, you have four or five checks flying, man, and making sure they don't collide, bro. Oh yeah. You got that check. We learned the technique called rapid refinance. And we function at the level of our competence. But the Holy Spirit is calling us and saying, hey, it's time now. I want y'all to be city builders. I want you to be city builders. I want you to be a part of what I'm doing in this hour. I want to rebuild the waste places in DeKalb County. I want to rebuild the waste places in the city. I want you to buy up property. I want you to buy up land. I want you to refurbish places. I want you to create an example of what an efficient health system is all about. I want you to create a school that people, children can go to and they can excel in reading. I want you to kill the deficit that we're seeing with kids with reading. I want you to be the answer. I want you to be the answer. Come on, saints. Lord have mercy. And the last thing, I promise you, the last thing. I can't say enough about this thing about addiction. It's in this room. It's in this room.
anyway, I leave it alone. The last thing, I just want to say, if you put it out in the open to the right people and get the help, the reason why the devil has been coming at you is because of the potential you have. When you, the people you find the devil chasing most of the time, it's because of the treasure they have inside of them. And I will, when I say school, I'm going to tell you something. If you got a child that's not good with numbers and, man, they can't sit down too long, but they love to do things with their hands, I'm going to tell you something. Man, find out what they love. Find out what they love. Find out what they burn. Man, and don't make them live your life, man. Find out what works well for them. Come on, saints. Man, if landscaping is what they do and they do it better than everybody else, I want to tell you something. They're millionaire landscapers. Oh, you don't understand something. If your son loves to work in plumbing and has chosen plumbers, you don't understand that the average plumber who has a business earns between $150,000 and $200,000 a year. Clothes on. I just needed to say that, because the last thing, saints, giving and receiving. King Solomon did not get his breakthrough until he increased his giving capacity. Look in the Bible. You can look in the Bible. It was only... See, some of you all have become, and I'm speaking this as a prophet. I'm not taking up an offering, but I am saying what the Lord put in my heart to say. Some of you have grown comfortable in the area of your giving. And the Lord has been challenging you to, not the tithe, because you're faithful with the tithe, but what the Lord wants to challenge is your giving. It's your giving. The Lord is challenging. The Lord has been dealing with some of you in this room. You wouldn't miss an extra $1,000 a month and give. You wouldn't miss it. You would not miss it at all. Not even bad my hour. It's because the Lord wants to get something into this church. Into this people. And this man has proven himself to be faithful. They have proven themselves to be faithful with the resources. Can't say that about every leader. So, Solomon, what he did one day, he went out there and, no, you know, you're supposed to only just give an offering of one sacrifice. He went out there and I think it was 22,000. 22,000 offerings. When he gave that offering, God came to him in a dream and said, Solomon, here you go. I'm giving you a blank check. Whatever you want, I give it to you. That's what he did. That's in Ewell Crawford's translation. But he said, whatever you want. And Solomon turned around and said, I want wisdom. He said, I've been placed over this people. I want to know how to judge them. I want to know how to take care of these people. Just give me wisdom. And God said, because you did not ask for long life, you didn't ask for money, I'm going to give you what you asked plus what you didn't ask. Lord, have mercy. He was exuberant in his giving. And I guarantee you this year, you can take this to the bank if you would escalate your giving this year.
You make up your mind, you make up your mind and say, this is what I'm going to commit to do. This is what I'm going to commit to do. And do it. You will see the evidence either in your hands or in the hands of your children. And so what I want to do, I'm just flowing with this now. Those of you who will make that commitment to increase your giving in a major way, I ain't talking about $2 and $3 and all that, no. I'm talking about in a major way. I'd just like for you to stand. Wherever you are, you're going to make that commitment this year to give. I just want to ask that you don't play with God, don't play with the Lord, but let your commitment be true. Let your commitment be true. I'm telling you, Pastor, there's some people in here, they will not miss it. And not only that, God is going to multiply it. One of the areas the Lord has given me an anointing for has to do with praying for people regarding increase in their businesses. Every particular prophetic person has a particular anointing, and one that God has given me is in that area. So what I'd like for us to do, Pastor, is this all right? I'd like for you to, and I'm talking about not forsaking your tithe, not forsake. And some of you in this room, you need to become a tither. I'm just about scared of you, and the reason why I'm scared because after the day for me, if my children are going to be blessed by my actions, I'm going to do it. I love my children. I love them. I love them with all my heart. I want them to be blessed. I want my children to be blessed more than I'm blessed. That's why some of us work as hard as we do. Amen. So what I'd like for you to do in the presence of the Lord, in reverencing the Father, I want you to get an offering envelope. I want you to put on that offering envelope right on there. This is what you're committing to do every month, extra above your normal giving. Just write on there. I believe for some of you, it's going to be a step of faith. For some of you, you're not going to miss it. But if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, I'd like for you just to go ahead and do that right now. And once you do that, I'd like for you to come and stand right here. And we're going to pray with you. Amen. And those of you who are in this room, and you know you need to repent to God about not tithing, I'd like for you to stand wherever you are. And you know the Lord is dealing with you about it. Amen. I'm not going to look up your records. That's between you and God. Amen.